Welcome to another teaching from City Life Church Wollongong. For more information about our church, log on to www.citylife.org.au.
Oh, welcome everyone. Who's enjoying the walking? Healthy hearts, yeah, I certainly am. It's given me the kick I needed, I think, too. I mean, I've been walking a little bit, but I can get a little bit competitive. So I've been trying to beat my previous days, and there's been a couple of days where I didn't. Oh, my gosh. And then I was trying to get the 10,000 average, and I just missed it by, like, about 500 steps a day. Oh, I'm just going to have to work a little bit harder this week. Now, you guys can take a seat anyway. I tell you what, though, I've discovered some interesting things about people during the walking. I've discovered that all of us have the capacity to cheat. I know, that's terrible, isn't it? It's amazing the things I've heard. People like, do you know if you, oh, maybe I shouldn't tell you this, but do you know if you just shake it, you can get up a few steps, you know, like. So the excuse I heard was, oh, I didn't have it on for a few minutes in the morning, so I'm just making up. Oh, so you know what the Bible says about the way we think? Yeah, watch it. You know, I feel like sometimes I'm always talking about the way we think because you're getting it again this morning, but it's more about the attitudes of our heart today and what is actually in the attitudes of our heart. And, you know, maybe God gets to me to talk about this because maybe I need it. maybe he's still thinking, you know, there's a few attitudes. In fact, can I tell you about an attitude of the heart this morning? Confession time. I was just making a few minor adjustments to my message and my computer decided right in the middle of it that it was going to install some updates and shut down. And of course, on a Sunday morning, it's just the thing you want when you're preparing your message. So I'm preparing a message on attitudes and keeping the attitudes of our heart right. And I had a great lesson in practicing keeping the attitude of my heart right because I was not doing really well with it, can I just say? Stupid computer, what on earth is it doing that? Why does it have to, you know? Okay, so we all need a lesson in attitudes of the heart. Yeah. The Bible says in Proverbs 4:23, guard your heart above all else, for it is the source of life. In fact, another translation says, be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. The NLT says, very similar to the first one, above all else, guard your heart because it affects everything you do. It's fairly clear. We need to guard our hearts. Proverbs 4:20-22, so just a few verses before that say, pay attention, my child, to what I say. Listen carefully. Don't lose sight of my words. Let them penetrate deep within your heart, for they bring life and health to anyone who discovers their meaning. And then it goes on to say, guard your heart above all else. I love it when the Bible says, pay attention. When the Bible says pay attention, God is wanting our attention. Yeah. He doesn't put it there just for the fun of it. He's saying take notice of what I'm about to tell you. Yeah. Take notice. Take it to heart. Think about what you're doing. See, guarding our heart is really important matter. It's really important matter. What goes into our heart affects what comes out of our heart. And it affects every part of our life, everything that we do. And I really think that the degree to which we actually guard our hearts will directly affect our life and the health of our hearts. Do you know, with exercise, the health of your physical heart is affected by the things you do. The health of my physical heart is affected by the amount of fat I eat, by the amount of cholesterol that's in my body, by whether or not I walk. You know, the things that I do actually affect the health of my heart. And we know how important it is. I don't think any of us want to have a heart attack. And if you've ever had heart issues, you'll know just how vital your heart really is. It's the same with our spiritual heart. In fact, how much more important to keep our spiritual heart right, because the spiritual heart actually affects everything else that we do. Psalm 19, verses 12 to 14 says, how can I know all the sins lurking in my heart? Cleanse me from these hidden faults. Keep your servant from deliberate sins. Don't let them control me. Then I will be free of guilt and innocent of great sin. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. And I want us to think this morning about the meditations of our heart. You know, last week Ron talked about the fact that the grace of God is there for us. The grace of God is the only thing that can really free our hearts. And we are totally and utterly reliant on the grace of God. But that doesn't mean we just sit back and do nothing. The Bible is really clear that we actually have to take some action. We actually have to be pretty deliberate in what we do. You know, David understood that his righteousness was totally from God, but he understood that the words of his mouth and the things that he thought about were actually really important, and he needed to get them right before God. The meditation of our heart, when I looked up the words, it actually said what we think about, what we meditate on, what we talk to ourselves about. Who talks to themselves? Yeah. I talk to myself, and I hear other people in our house talking to themselves. I know they're not talking to anyone else. I wasn't saying anything, but I think someone just gave themselves away. But I talk to myself as well. What do we think about? What are we talking to ourselves about? Because that's what we're thinking about. That's what we're pondering. That's what we're meditating on. And I want us to think about what we're thinking about in our hearts. What are you thinking about in your heart? Psalm 141 verse 3 says, "Take control of what I say, O Lord, and keep my lips sealed." See, the psalmist understood that his lips were going to get him into trouble. But our lips get us into trouble when we're thinking the wrong things in our heart. Because what we say reflects what's in here. What we say and what we do reflects what is going on in our hearts. And Jesus took this up with the Pharisees. In Matthew, I've got lots of scriptures for you today, guys. Matthew 12, 34 to 35, "You brood of snakes." Jesus is so gentle, isn't he? Some translations say, "You brood of vipers." I love it. "You brood of vipers." Isn't that? That's a great expression. "How could evil men like you speak what is good and right? For whatever is in your heart determines what you say. A good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart, and an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart." God is the only one that can make our heart good. Because basically, otherwise we're good at thinking the wrong things, aren't we? We're good at thinking, "Oh, I'll get back at that person." But God says, "No, I want your heart to be right and good, because when you've got a good heart, good things will come out of it." Luke 6:45 says something very similar. "A good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart, and an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. What you say flows from what is in your heart." What you say flows from what is in your heart. And I love this verse in Proverbs 27:19. "As a face is reflected in water, so the heart reflects the real person." Yeah. The real you is what is going on in your heart. Yeah. It is not what you say, because we can sometimes cover up what we say. But eventually, the real you will come out. Yeah. Yeah. Put yourself under a little bit of pressure and see what comes out. Put yourself with a computer that's not working and see what comes out, because it reflects what is in the heart at that time. The truth is that what I think about and what I ponder in my heart will come out of my mouth, and it will come out in my behaviours and my attitudes. And the truth is that it's the same for all of us. I think that's why the psalmist realised he needed to keep his words and his thoughts acceptable to God. You know, what do we deeply think about? What do we consider? What do we talk to ourselves about? Because that is what's really important. It will come out in our attitude and our speech. If we're going to keep a healthy heart, then just like when you go to the doctor and you're going to do a heart check, I think we need to do a heart check as well. When we go to the doctor, he will check our cholesterol level. He will check the heart rate. In fact, if you're in bed, you know, Kate's been up in hospital and she's been going through terrible stuff. They are measuring everything. Well, they can tell what a heart is doing. They can tell what her oxygen levels are. You know, there's just a whole stream of things that are saying to the doctors, this is what's going on. And when we go to the doctor and he does, you know, checks your blood pressure. Is it high, low? Is it right? Is it in the right range? Checks your heart, checks your breathing. You know, he does a check on your heart. And if necessary, they'll do ultrasounds. They'll do a whole lot of other stuff, because our heart is really, really important to our life. Yep. And so the doctor will keep a check on your heart. Yep. Let's do a check on our own heart. Let's check whether or not what we're doing is actually right. And so today I want to think about how we can do that, and then just a couple of points on how we can make a change. The first thing is that we need to actually find out what is going on in our hearts. So you need to do the check. You need to look at what you think about. We need to ask ourselves some questions. What do I actually think about? Ask God to help you discover what it is that you're thinking about. We can think about a lot of stuff and not realize that it's not healthy for us. So what are we actually thinking about? What are the things that we think deeply over? Because we need to discover what is really going on. If we want to fix something up and we want to change it, we need to know what is actually happening. Some of us think we're going okay. So let's do a check and see if we really are going okay. I like to think I'm going okay until some nasty driver cuts in front of me. And then I discover that maybe the attitude of my heart isn't always quite right. Because if the attitude of my heart was right, the driver would cut in front of me and I would say, bless him, I hope he has a fabulous day. What an amazing person he is. He's a child of God and he's just going, God, just bless him. Of course, that's what everybody in the car with me hears when someone cuts in front of me. I'm sure it's what they hear because I'm sure that's what I not say. I tend to say things like, oh, who the blinking heck does he think he is? What did they do that for? And then God says, oh, check. Yeah, oh, sorry, God. Okay. Forgive me, God. What's going on in your heart? Because do you know what? What I say, we might laugh and think it's funny, but actually it reflects something that's going on inside of me. Yeah. It actually reflects a frustration. It reflects an attitude. And it reflects a behavior that I have that is going on inside of me that needs to change. Yeah. So I'm working on it. I'm aware of it. But what's going on in your heart for you? What are the things that you're thinking about? What are the things that we're talking to ourselves about? Are they pleasing to God? Ask him. Because remember, what we think about develops into our attitudes and comes out in our behaviours. Am I positive about other people? Or is my first response negativity and criticism? Am I quick to get angry? I think we need to be brutally honest with ourselves. I think we really need to take a really good hard look. And I don't want to criticise anyone here this morning because I know that all of us have some really great things that we do and all of us have some shockers. I know because I live with some of you. You know, I do life with people. I understand what's going on and you know what? You live with me too. So you see all of my stuff. But together we can work on it and make a difference. We can change the things that are going on in our heart. You know, in America, they talk about the first responders to an accident, you know, or a thing that goes on. Who are the first responders? And they're talking things like, you know, the fire brigade and the ambulance, the police. And it made me think about what are the first responders for us in our heart? What are the first responders? Is it the grace and the love of God that is our first responder? Or is it something else? Is it something else? Is your first response, is my first response, God's love and grace, and what does God want in this situation? Or is it something different? And I'm challenged by that because I know for myself so often it's something different. I know that there, you know, when we're thinking about stuff, when we're in a hurry, when we're frustrated, the things that are in our hearts will come out. Do we think about everything in terms of other people, or do we think about them in terms of ourselves? What I would loosely call selfish ambition. What is going on in our hearts? When we are thinking about life circumstances, are we just thinking about how it might affect me? Yeah. Or are we actually thinking what is best for everybody? Yeah. I'm challenged by what goes on in my heart because I know that as human beings, we have a very good self-focus. And God is saying, we need an other focus. He says, don't just think about yourself. Think about other people. Think about other people. What is going on in our hearts for us? You know, in Luke 10, 36 and 42, we actually read of Jesus' visit to Mary and Martha. Martha was worried and harassed. The Bible tells us that she was worried. So is it harassed or harassed? Is an American and English way of saying it. I've never quite worked out which it is, so it might change. But anyway, basically she was upset. And do you know what she said? She didn't say, Jesus, I'm feeling really upset and harassed. Would you help me to change my attitude? She said, Jesus, tell Mary to come and help me. What she said actually reflected what the attitude was. And Jesus picked it up straight away. See, she was thinking about herself. Yeah. But Mary, Jesus said, was thinking about what was important. Yeah. And that was the relationship with God, the relationship with Jesus. And Jesus says to her, Martha, you're feeling a little bit worried. You're feeling a little bit harassed. I would have said, fair enough. I mean, I'm not that You know, honestly, some people really like doing stuff in the kitchen and some people don't. I'm one of the people that don't, so I get the Mary thing of sitting not doing anything. That's fine. But other members of my family might say, I wish Jilla get up off her backside and come and help. So, you know, I try to, okay? So I'm working on it. But Brian is just smirking down here. But the thing is that Jesus pinpointed for Martha exactly what was in her heart. Exactly what was in her heart. And it was reflected in what she said. It came out in her attitude and in her behaviour. She was worried, she was harassed, she was upset. And Jesus hit it for what it is. And so when we do a heart check, Jesus will hit it for us. He will tell us what it is that is actually going on in us. In Psalm 73:21, we have a guy called Asaph who I know absolutely nothing about. But you can look him up if you like. Asaph wrote a psalm, and in Psalm 73, in verse 21, he says, "Then I realized that my heart was bitter and all torn up inside." He'd been pondering the way the world worked and how it seemed unfair to him. And then he comes into the presence of God, and he says, "I realized that my heart was bitter and all torn up inside." He knew that he had to make a change. He knew he had to do something different. So I would like us to determine to think about what you think about. Take some time to deeply think about the things that you deeply think about, because they will reflect the attitudes of our hearts when we do that. Be deliberate, deliberate in identifying the issues. So the first thing is find out what is actually really going on. The second one is have the courage to make a change. Have the courage to make a change. Do you know, making a change in anything takes some courage, because it's easier to stay the same than to actually be deliberate about making a change. So have the courage to make a change. This goes for our physical heart as well. We need to have the courage to do something different, to step out, to make a change, to look after ourselves. Have the courage, because when we know what's going on in our hearts, I think it's actually easy for us to deceive ourselves. Who's ever thought that they were better at something than they really were? I don't watch a lot of Idol, but I have seen some of the introductions to them. And can I tell you, there are some people who can really sing really well, and there are some people who think they can really sing really well. And they are totally deceived, because they can't sing really well at all, and you and I can hear it. And we can be like that about things, because we can so easily deceive ourselves. I actually think human beings in general are very, very masterful at deceiving ourselves, because we can really easily make things seem better. We can reason away anything and everything if we wanted to. We can easily be deceived. So when you know that there's something that's going on in your heart, when you've identified something, have the courage to make a change. Don't say, "It's all right, it's just a little thing. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter." You know, we think about, I was talking before about how we've all kind of worked out, you know, how we can get around the pedometer and stuff like that. And we go, "Oh, you know, it's nothing at all. It's not that much." We're just totally deceiving ourselves. We are totally deceiving ourselves. You might go, "Oh, it's a little thing. It doesn't matter." And in many ways, it doesn't. But if you want to have a go at other people who are deceiving themselves over something, and you're happy to say, "Oh, it's just a little thing. It doesn't matter," then can I say that you're just joining the bunch of the totally deceived? Because that's often how we live our life. And so I don't want us to live our life that way, because I believe we don't have to live our life that way. We can identify something and actually make a change. We don't have to be deceived by our behaviours and our actions. Jeremiah talks about it. He says, "The human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked." There's a lovely, encouraging word for today. Who really knows how bad it is? "But I, the Lord, search all hearts and examine secret motives. I give all people their due rewards according to what their actions deserve." And Proverbs 21:2 says, "People may be right in their own eyes, but the Lord examines the heart." I'm fascinated by some of the stuff that goes up on Facebook. A lot of it, people put up a whole lot of things about, you know, having the right attitude, and you kind of know those people. And sometimes you know what the attitudes really are. And I think we think because we've stuck something up on Facebook that we're actually living that attitude. And actually, we're not. We've just posted it on Facebook. Yeah. That's all we've done. We haven't made a change. We haven't done anything. We just stuck it up on Facebook. Is it good to put good things up on Facebook? Absolutely. But don't think because you've posted something good up there that you're living it. Yeah. Just because you post something up doesn't mean that that's what you're living. Just because you say or think that you're doing something doesn't mean you actually are. Sometimes we think because we've heard something that we're actually doing it. But we're not. We're not. We're deceiving ourselves. And I want to encourage us to have the courage to really be deliberate about making a change. God will reveal where we're trying to hide things. He will show us and he will help us. The Israelites had exactly the same issue that we do. You know, we can laugh about it. They took 40 years to do a trip that should have taken 11 days. My gosh, 40 years. And do you know why? Because they deceived themselves, because their hearts were hard, because they didn't trust in God. They filled themselves up with unbelief. Their attitude was just one of unbelief, and they just didn't get it. And we go, oh, that's terrible. Well, we can so easily do the same thing. And do you know what Moses said to them? In Deuteronomy 10:16, you know, he's addressing the people. And he's saying to them, this is who God is. God is amazing. God is fantastic. He's done all this great stuff for you. And then he says, basically he says, because God has done all these things, he says, stop being stubborn and get your heart right before God. Stop being stubborn and get your right. Who can be stubborn here? Any stubborn? Oh, look, I'm not alone. We can all be stubborn because we like things our own way. But God says, don't be stubborn. Change your heart. Change your heart. Unbelief had hardened the Israelites' hearts. And in Hebrews 3:8, we're encouraged quite a few times through that, actually. But it says, this is why the Holy Spirit says, just in case you thought that was an Old Testament thing, this is what the Holy Spirit says. Today, when you hear his voice, don't harden your heart as Israel did when they rebelled. Today, when you hear his voice, is God speaking to you and to me today? And if he is, are we listening or are we hardening our hearts? I want to encourage us to listen and to not harden our hearts. We have a tendency to rebel, but God has a way forward. God helps us to not be rebellious and to actually move forward in who we are. Ezekiel 36:26 says, I will give you a new heart. I will put a new spirit in you. I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart. Isn't that amazing? I love that. If your heart's been hardened, God says, do you know what? I can change it. I can deal with it. I can get rid of that stony heart. This is what God says, I can change it to a tender, soft, responsive heart. Can I encourage us to have a soft, responsive heart toward what God wants to do in our lives? A soft, responsive heart. What attitudes of the heart do you know that God is wanting you to change? What attitudes do you know he's wanting you to change? But you've actually convinced yourselves they're not so bad. God is challenging us, I think, to say, you know what? You may not think they're so bad, but they're still not right before me. So let's do something about it. Let's make a change. Let's do something. Let's do it differently. Don't think about just what we've discovered, but what is God wanting us to do it differently? I think we all need to think about what we need to change and what we need to do differently so that our hearts are open and tender and responsive before God. So the first thing was to find out what's actually going in our hearts. And the second thing is to make the change, to have the courage to make the change. Do you know, we can do that when people in life groups, in life, find someone who will encourage you in this walk. Find someone who will help you because we can't do it alone. God will want to make a change. But if we find it hard, have people who will tell you to keep going. Have people around you who will lift you up and encourage you. Have people around you who will challenge you when your attitudes get a bit stinky. Have people around you who will say, I think you need to make a change. People who love you enough to actually care about you, to say, that attitude's pretty stinky. Do something. Why don't you do something about it? Why don't you let God do something about it? That's why life groups are so important. That's why getting together is really, really important. Because we encourage one another. We encourage one another to walk the walk that God has called us to walk. Yeah. The third thing is to ponder the things of God. If we're going to think about what's going on in our hearts, we're going to be deliberate about making a change, then we have to be deliberate about what we think about, And change what we think about. So we have to, instead of thinking about our own stuff, start to think about the things of God. And this can include scripture, and that should be a large part of it. But it also should be thinking about what is God's good plan and purpose for my life? What does God want for my family? What are the things that are really important to God that we should be pondering on? Luke 2:19, it says, I love this little verse. It says, Mary pondered these things in her heart. In her heart. That's where we ponder things. It's in our innermost being. We ponder things. What is going on in our life? She watched what Jesus was doing. She saw the prophets. She saw, you imagine, you know, you have a baby and all of a sudden there's a heavenly chorus and a bright light and a, you know. And she says, what does all this mean? She was a godly woman, and so she was pondering it as a godly woman would ponder it. And then Jesus goes to the temple, and we heard a message while we were away about how you can lose the Redeemer. Could you just imagine it? You know, I have lost a child in a shopping centre, and it's a really scary thing. As this guy said, could you imagine losing the Son of God? Yes. And they didn't notice for 3 days that he was missing. But when they found him, and he was talking and he said, didn't you know I had to be in my Father's house? Yeah, yeah. Jesus knew how to ponder the things of God. Yeah. And Mary then starts pondering that in her heart. Yeah. I wonder what she was thinking about. But she knew God had a plan and purpose for that boy of hers. Yeah. And she pondered it and she thought about it. Yeah. And it says he grew in stature and in favour with God and man. I reckon Mary was a big part of that because she pondered good things for her son in her heart. She thought deeply. That's what it means to ponder. It means to think deeply. The neuroscientists will tell us that when we think deeply, it is good for us. Yeah. Some people say, oh, I'm not a deep thinker. We are all created to think deeply. Yeah. And we're all created to think deeply about the good things of God, yeah. To think deeply about them. Joshua, when he was to take the promised land, was told to meditate on the word of God. A deliberate pondering, a deliberate pondering of the things of God. That's what meditating on the Word of God is, a deliberate pondering. What does the Word of God say? What does the Word of God say to me? What actions do I need to take out of that? What changes is God wanting me to make because of this Word? Deliberately thinking about, thinking over and talking to ourselves about the things of God. That's what it means to treasure in your heart, to ponder, to meditate. When I looked the words up, they all mean the same thing because they're just translated a little bit differently in different versions. But they mean to think deeply, to talk to ourselves about, and to ponder the things of God. So having the courage to change and asking God's help, we finally have to do the hard yards. We actually have to change what we think about in our hearts. And we talked about that a lot at the beginning of the year. But I want to ask us a question. What will we choose to think over from now on? What will we choose to think about? Philippians 4:8 says, and now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honourable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. It's easy to take that verse and say we should think about things that are good and right and lovely, and it's absolutely true. But what it really means is, in your life, when you come up against life circumstances, think about the good. Think about who God is. Think about all the things that God is doing. Because before that, immediately before that, it says, don't be anxious about anything. Give the anxiety to God. And then think about what is good and right and lovely. In your circumstance, what is going on? If it's in your... Is it your children? Is it your family? Is it your work situation? God has an answer. And it begins with thinking about what is good and right and lovely about God, about what he wants to do in your circumstance and your situation, and about everything that you do in your life. Don't just take this verse and repeat it parrot fashion. That is not that helpful. It just says that you know how to repeat parrot fashion. Think about it. Think deeply about it. Yeah. Ponder it in your heart and what is good and right and lovely in each situation. Yeah, very good. When I looked up fix your thoughts, it says consider, take account, weigh, meditate on. Do we think about, take account, weigh, and meditate on what is good and right and lovely and admirable? Or do we consider, weigh, and meditate on other things that are not so great? It's a challenge. It's a real challenge. In each situation, for every attitude that you've identified that you want to work on, think about what God wants for that situation. And think about what is good and right and lovely in that situation. I think that is why it's a really good idea to read and meditate on the Word every day. Because if we don't know what the Word says about those things, and we can't think and meditate on it. I don't know how many times people come to me and they say, I'm really struggling. I said, what's God saying to you? I don't know. What have you been reading? I haven't read anything. Oh, duh, go away and read something and maybe God will talk to you. Sorry, attitude of the heart. Please, caring and lovely person that God wants to bless, start reading the Bible. You know what? The thing is that the Bible is God's word to us. And He will speak to us from His word about every situation that we face. And we are just selling ourselves short if we don't read it regularly. We really are. How can we expect to know what God wants if we don't read what He tells us He wants? We've got to know what God wants. And so that's why I think it's a really good idea to read and meditate on the Word every day. Do you know, Joshua, they didn't have Bibles everywhere. We are so blessed to have Bibles everywhere. Joshua was to meditate on the Word. The Word he had was the law of God. And God says, meditate on it and do what is right. He had to know it off by heart. There's a challenge. He says, think about it. Think deeply about what is in my word and apply it to your life in your situation. Here's some verses that I think can be helpful. But again, we need to think about what the particular attitude is. Because for each of us as we go home today, I hope we do take a really good look at our hearts and say, what attitudes do you want me to change? And that we will say, Lord, I'm actually up for it. I'm gonna take it in my hands. I'm going to, you know, take courage and I am going to change it. What are we going to do? What attitudes are we going to do? Psalm 119, verse 111 says, your laws are my treasure, they are my heart's desire. Psalm 103, verses 1 to 5 says, let all that I am praise the Lord. With my whole heart I will praise His holy name. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things He does for me. He forgives all my sins. He heals all my diseases. He redeems me from death. He crowns me with love and tender mercies. He fills my life with good things. My youth is renewed like the eagles. Amen. Feeling a bit weary? My youth is renewed like the eagles. Feeling a bit tired, my youth is renewed. God has an answer for our situation. And as you read the word for yourself, I can throw out lots and lots of verses, but do you know what? You'll find it for yourself. You've got to read it for yourself. Psalm 27 verse 4 says, the one thing I ask of the Lord, the thing I seek most, is to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, delighting in the Lord's perfection and meditating in His temple. The temple represented the presence of God. We don't have to be in a temple to be in the presence of God. We can come daily into the presence of God. Please don't use that as an excuse not to come to church. Coming to church and gathering together is a good thing. The Bible says don't forsake gathering together. But we don't have to wait till we come to church to come into the presence of God and to seek Him and to ask Him what He's doing. Psalm 37, 1 to 4 says, you know, we get concerned about all the stuff that's going on in the world. And this is what it says. Don't worry about the wicked or envy those who do wrong. See the attitude? God hits it right there. Are we envious of other people when they do wrong and seem to get away with it? God says, don't envy it. For like grass, they soon fade away. Like spring flowers, they soon wither. Trust in the Lord and do good. Then you will live safely in the land and prosper. Take delight in the Lord, and He will give you your heart's desire. Probably last year sometime, when I was actually looking at that verse, I looked a little bit more deeply into it. And it says, take delight in the Lord, and He will give you your heart's desires. It says, wrap yourself up in God. Other words that it uses. Wrap yourself up in God, and He will give you your heart's desires. We like to think of that verse pretty selfishly, don't we? Got all these desires, and if we just delight in God, he's going to fulfill everything I want. Bzz, wrong. That's not what that verse means. It says, wrap yourself up in God, and the desires of your heart will be godly desires, and then he will fulfill the godly desires that he puts in your heart. Wrap yourself up in God. I love it. When you wrap yourself up in God. Do we wrap ourselves up in God every day? Do we allow what he wants for our life to filter into our hearts and to go down deeply into our hearts? In Psalm 119:11, the psalmist says, I have hidden your word in my heart so that I might not sin against you. The answer to making sure our behaviours and our attitudes are acceptable before God is to hide his word in our hearts where it can actually make a difference to our lives, where it actually can make a big difference. As we fix our thoughts, as we're pondering in our hearts, it's meant to be a deeply spiritual thing. It is meant to be deeply spiritual, not in an airy-fairy spiritual way, but deeply spiritual as a heart connection between us and God. Deeply spiritual. And that is when it has an effect on what we believe. That's when it begins to make a change in our life, if we'll keep our hearts soft and tender. When the word is only in our heads, it is only useful for knowledge. When we're studying something, I did a science degree years ago. When you study for something, you keep the knowledge in your head so that you can write it down and remember it and get marks for it. And some of us treat the word of God like that. We have the knowledge in our head and we feel like if we know it, that God will give us a tick on it. But what God says is get it into your heart. Head knowledge is only useful to a certain degree. It just means that we can remember what the Bible says and maybe we can pass an exam on it. But when it gets into our heart, that's when it can change our lives. And that's why God says meditate on the word, because he wants it to be deep, deep in our heart so that it can affect what we do. So that when I'm starting to feel frustrated about the driver who's just cut me off, then I hopefully very quickly, even if it's not exactly my first response, very quickly go, actually, God, you want me to have a better attitude than that, because your word says love everybody regardless of what they do. Your word says that that is a child of God. Your word says, just remembering some of those things that go deep in our hearts. And eventually, if we do this over and over again, we're really deliberate and we practice it, our first response becomes the God response. And that is what we're aiming for. That is what we're looking at. That our first response is the God response and the God attitude. And it's a challenge. It's a challenge. It's meant to produce a change in our hearts. And so I just want to finish today with Psalm 19, verse 14 again. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. If we want to do this, then let's discover what is going on in our hearts. Let's have the courage to make a change and a courage to ponder the things of God, because that will make a difference. Why don't we pray? And you might be here for the first time today, or you're visiting and you're not really sure. Maybe you're not sure what it means to have a relationship with God. Can I say to you, God is a gracious and loving God, and he wants the best for your life. So as we pray, let's remember that and let's just ask God to make the changes that we need to make. Father, I just thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for your love and your grace for us. I thank you, Lord, that we can come and that we can just ask you and you will show us what we need to do. Father, I just pray, Lord, that each one of us will have the courage to look inside and to ask you to show us what we need to change, Lord, to have the courage to change and to begin to think about and to ponder on what is right and good and lovely, the things that you have placed in our hearts, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed listening to this teaching from City Life Church. And why not join us on a Sunday? We hold multiple services around the Illawarra. For more information, go to www.citylife.org.au.